I was sitting in front of the gym at student camp when a group of students ran up to me and said, "There's a fight, there's a fight." So I ran into the gym to see two students facing each other. One student I knew very well, his name was Javier. I had been mentoring him for quite a few years. The other student I did not know. But when I walked in, I became angry. Because what I walked into was the other student tearing into Javier, making fun of his accent, making fun of the way he talked, the way he walked, how he was dressed. And I looked at Javier, and his fists were just clenched, and he was shaking. And I could see tears building up in his eyes as the kids continued to laugh at him. And something in me just snapped. It brought me back to a place. And I'm like, "Hey, stop what you're doing right now. You cannot talk to somebody that way." I was not very pastoral-like in that moment. And I approached and I confronted this other student. I said, "You cannot talk to anybody that way." And I turned away from him and I went to Javi. And I grabbed him and I said, son, look me in the eyes right now. Look me in the eyes. You are not the words that have been spoken over you right now. You are a child of God. God created you with a plan and a purpose. You are valuable. We need to live in the identity that God created for us. Not the words, the labels that other people have placed on us. Not what culture has said to us. We need to believe what Jesus says. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord. And today we are continuing our Marathon Faith series. And I want us to understand that our insecurities and our lack of identity will stop us from moving forward in our race. We must know who we are in Jesus Christ. The next hero of faith identified in Hebrews chapter 11 was Moses. Last week we learned about Moses' mom and how brave she was. And when I think about the Bible character Moses, I think of the movie The Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston was the one that played Moses, and he made Moses look like a cool guy, like a superhero. And I remember I was a nerdy church kid. I'm just admitting that right now, that I actually would get a stick in my backyard, my brothers and I wanted to be Moses, and I'd be like, "Let my people go." And it was like this awesome moment. And I remember thinking Moses was this superhero, but as you read in the Bible about him, he had some serious identity issues. He was born during a time when Israelites were completely hated by the Egyptians. Like, Pharaoh wanted to eradicate them from the entire planet. His mom, out of bravery, kept him alive when there was an edict, there was a law that every Jewish boy, every Israelite boy was to be killed. But she was brave, as we learned last week. And she placed him in a watertight basket and sent him down the river, praying over him. And by a miracle of God, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she wanted to adopt him. And by another miracle of God, which is so funny to think about, is that Moses' biological mom, the one that placed him in the river, Pharaoh's daughter actually hires her to nurse him till he's old enough to be adopted. I think it's kind of God's sense of humor right there. And I believe that even for that small amount of time, whether it was just a few months, a few years, when Moses was that baby in his mother's arms, as she's nursing him, as she has him in his house, he knew who his identity was. She spoke words of identity over him. He knew that he was a child of God. And so he gets adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And his life completely changes. He goes from being the least as an Israelite to becoming part of the royal family in Egypt. He went from being the worst to the best. He had the best clothes, the best food, the best education. And so as he is going through this, Though I believe he had those identity issues going on because he knew where his origins were from. He knew originally he was an Israelite, but now everywhere he goes, every place he goes to, people are bowing down. People are like, make way, here comes royalty. He's at the top now. And so I can just imagine him, he has this question going through his mind constantly. Who am I? And it's a question that you might have today. Who am I? God, who am I? And you see, Moses had to make a choice on his identity. He had to choose his identity. We're going to open up the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. It says this, by faith, when he was grown up, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses chose to be identified as an Israelite. Moses chose God. And in Exodus chapter 2, this is another account of that same moment. It says, now when it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. As you study this passage of scripture, Acts 7:23 actually tells us that Moses was 40 years old when he made this decision, when he made this choice. So think about that. At 40 years old, he already had made a name for himself in Egypt. He was known as a great leader. He had led them in battle. He had been doing great things in his education. He was on the road to maybe becoming the next Pharaoh. And at 40 years old, he walks away from that. In that passage of scripture where it says he looked at their burdens, it means he identified that. He chose to look at that burden and take it up. He chose God. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord. And we're all like Moses. We've been dropped into this culture, this world around us. And culture tells us that we have to look a certain way. We have to fit in. Magazines, TV says you have to look this way. You have to be a certain size. And we try to do everything we can to fit into culture. And culture is all about me. How much money can I make? How much of an education can I get? It becomes me, me, me. It's about how many likes do I get when I post something on social media? How many followers do I have? It's all about trying to become rich, to become powerful. It's about making a name for yourself. And that is the exact same culture that Moses was in. So we can identify with him because there are times when culture is telling you to do stuff, when people are telling you you have to live up to this standard, you say, God, who am I? God, who am I? Am I what I do? Does that define my identity? Am I the achievements, the great things that I've accomplished? Am I my failures, does that identify who I am? Does the names, the labels, the words that people have spoken over me, does that define who I am? But what I'd like to tell you today, it's not what you do, but who you are in Christ. It's not what you achieve, it's who you are in Christ. It's not how many times you failed and messed up. It's who you are in Christ. It's not what other people have told you or spoke over you. It's who you are in Christ. Because if I identify by what I do or what I have accomplished, then I'm going to have to keep doing more and more and more and more and more to feel valued. If I identify based upon my failures or what other people have spoken over me, then I'm going to live a life where all I care about is pleasing people. And that's what my world will revolve around. We know who we are. We know Jesus as Lord. And I believe we are focused on voices that we do not need to be focused in on. The first voice I believe we should not be listening to is the voice of yourself. And I know that sounds strange, but here's my question to you today. What words are you speaking over yourself? In Proverbs 18, it tells us that life or death comes from the tongue. And I know that we have insecurities. I know we have shortcomings. We have abilities that we know we don't live up to other people's standards. But what words are you speaking over yourself? Are they words of life or are they words of death? Because the truth is, we are our worst critic. We tear ourselves down more than anybody else. And this was true in Moses' life as well. You see, Moses had many doubts about himself, but his doubts revealed his doubts about God. In Exodus chapter 4, God calls Moses. He has this burning bush moment where literally the presence of God is there, and God tells him, I'm going to use you to be the person that leads the Israelites out of slavery, to bring freedom to them. And the first thing that Moses responds with, we're going to read about it right now. Then Moses said to the Lord, this is Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He's putting himself down. He's literally saying, I am slow. I can't speak. I don't have that ability. And aren't we guilty of that too? When we have opportunities, we have these opportunities in front of us, but we're like, we speak it over ourselves. I can't do it. I don't have that ability. I'm too slow. I'm not smart enough. And you see, God responds back here to Moses. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be your mouth and teach you what you shall say. See, God is with us. Whatever shortcomings you have, whatever issues you have, God is with you. God is telling Moses, he's telling us today, I created you. Am I not in control of the situation? But you see, we are so much like Moses, because here's what Moses said. Oh, my Lord, please send by the hands of whoever else you may send. Moses still is saying, God, I understand what you're telling me, but send somebody else. And he doesn't even think of himself that highly, because he didn't say, like, send somebody who's better than I am. Send somebody who's smarter. Send somebody. He just says, send whoever. Anybody else will do better than me. And here's the key to this. The very last verse, it says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God became angry. And I believe that we frustrate God sometimes because we are the ones putting ourselves down. We are the ones who are speaking death over our own life with the words that we say. And I'll be the first to admit that when I make a mistake, when I embarrass myself, when I do something that people laugh at me about, I have bad self-talk. I say things to myself that I would never say to anybody else. I put myself down, and why do we think that's okay? Why do those words of anger, those words of death, instead of pointing them to anybody else, we point them at ourselves? And we are literally hurting ourselves with our own words. So you need not listen to the voice of yourself. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord. The second voice we should not listen to is the voice of culture. See, Moses was in a place where he had power. He had wealth. He had anything he wanted. He was literally in line to possibly be the next Pharaoh. That would mean one of the most powerful people in the entire world. But he chose the identity that God had for him. And we are in the same situation. Culture is there saying you can make a name for yourself. You can be successful. You can become rich. You can do all these things. But my question would be to you, at what cost? What compromises do you have to make? You see, because culture tells us we have to look a certain way, act a certain way. Culture tells us we have to fit in. And as Christians, culture tells us, oh, you need to keep your faith to yourself. We need to be politically correct. We don't want to step on people's toes. We don't want to upset anybody. But culture cannot dictate who we are. We cannot let culture dictate who our identity is. We're trying to live up to standards that God did not tell us to live up to. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord. See, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We cannot be something we are not just because we want to fit in to what culture tells us to do. The third voice that I would tell you do not need to listen to is the outside voices. You see, Moses had the wealth. He had this power. He had everything going for him. And at 40 years old, he walked away. Can you imagine the hurt, the anger his adopted mom had? Can you imagine the anger, the pain that Pharaoh had towards Moses? I mean, he literally says in the Bible that Pharaoh wanted to kill him. So I'm guessing that there weren't very nice words spoken to Moses when he made this decision. There might have been words spoken like, "Man, you're a mistake. I can't believe we brought you into our house. I can't believe you're making such a dumb decision and walking away." I can only imagine his friends who were all Egyptian around him going, "What is wrong with you? Why would you give all this up to go and be a slave, to become the worst in society?" And words were spoken over him. And I know this is true because you saw in Exodus 4, when God tries to uplift him, he tries to tear himself down. So obviously at some point in his life, words were spoken over him to try to destroy him. And the truth is that every one of us, we have family, friends, bosses, enemies, co-workers, everyone around us that speaks either words that uplift us or words that bring us down. But our identity does not come from the words that are spoken over us. I know many of us, including myself, have been hurt deeply, wounded deeply by words that people have spoken, by names that people have spoken. But we cannot identify who we are because of the words that have been spoken over us. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord. I remember accepting Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old. At the end of Sunday school class, our teacher asked, "Is there anybody who wants to accept Jesus?" And I remember asking him, "What does that mean? I didn't understand what he was talking about. I mean, my parents had just started going to church." And he explained to me, and I remember he said, "Look me in the eyes, Jason, you are important to Jesus. He willingly laid down his life for you." He said, "You are God's creation." He said, "Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with him in eternity. You are special, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life." And I remember tears coming down my face, and I prayed the prayer of salvation, and it was literally like I became more confident. I believed those words. I believed what he said, and I started wanting to know more about God. And that continued, and then I got to middle school, about 13 years old, 14 years old, and I started to have doubts about what God thought of me. And the reason I started having those doubts is because in middle school, people started noticing that I didn't fit in. And every day, I got bullied. I got called names that I can't even say from the stage right now. And it hurt. I remember there was even one time that my mom is eating lunch with me, and they still have the audacity to call me those names in front of my mom. And I started asking God, God, if I'm really your child, if I'm really important, then why do I not fit in? Then why does this hurt? Why is there all this pain? I started asking that question, who am I? And that's a question that maybe you have today. God, who am I? Well, here are the facts of what God says. You are God's creation. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. God does not just, you didn't just appear here. God created you. There are no mistakes. It's not coincidence. God created you. You are God's masterpiece. Psalms 139:14, I will praise you, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God created you so unique. There will never be another person just like you. And God does not make junk. You are valuable. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You are so valuable that God was willing to send his one and only son to die on the cross for you. You are chosen by God. Many of us know how it feels to be overlooked, but God says, you are chosen. I choose you to be part of my family. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are made new. Your past, your mistakes do not dictate who you are. You are made new through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are sons and daughters of Jesus. You are sons and daughters of God. You are royalty. John 1:12, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. But just like Moses, you have to choose which identity you're going to live in. One of the greatest gifts that God has given me are my two daughters, Joanna and Juliana. And Joanna's coming up right now. And Joanna's a complete miracle. We prayed for her for a very long time. And her full name is Joanna Sophia. And it literally means that God was gracious. And when I look at Joanna, I see so much potential. I see God's hand on her. But I also know what culture says, what outside voices say. Joanna, I want to tell you today that you are special. I love you so much. As your dad, I am so proud of you. You truly are a miracle. And I believe and I know in my heart that God has a plan and a purpose for you. You're going to be a woman of God that changes this world. And no matter what other people might tell you, no matter what they might say, always remember that you are one of God's princesses and that I love you. You're one of Daddy's princesses and you are important. And no matter what happens, always remember that you are loved. I love you, baby. Amen. Today, can I tell you that God is speaking the same thing to you right now? He is looking at you right now and saying, you are my child. I love you. I love you more than anybody else. It's a love that you don't even have to earn. I love you. Stop listening to the voices of culture telling you you have to be something. Live in the identity that I gave you. Stop listening to those outside voices that have torn you down. Those names, those labels, those words are not you. Stop tearing yourself down with your own words that you're speaking over yourself. Live in the identity of knowing you are a child of God. You are royalty. I have chosen you to be part of my family. I was willing to give my one and only son. That if you will believe in him, you will have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can have a new identity. But you have to accept it. You have to be able to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, it's not about me. I'm not here to try to please people. I'm not here to try to make a name for myself. God, it's all about you because you are Lord of my life and I get my identity from you alone. But you have to make that choice. You have to choose the identity you're going to live in. Culture, voices, your own self will tell you you have to do these other things, but God is saying, focus on me. Live in the identity that I created for you. We know who we are when we know Jesus as Lord.